The federal government could be forced to make radical changes to its proposed overhaul of the $3.7 trillion superannuation industry. The government has already been forced to remove powers that allowed the Treasurer to intervene on super funds' investment decisions, allowing opposition from its own MPs. Now, Independent Senator Rex Patrick and Labor are proposing more amendments in the Senate. Senator Jane Hume is the Minister for Superannuation, Financial Services and Women's Economic Security and our guest. Welcome.
Good to be with you, PK.
How much ground are you prepared to give in order to get these changes through the Senate?
Look, this is really important legislation because Australians spend way too much on superannuation fees, around $30 billion a year, in fact, which is a staggering amount. There are duplicate accounts. There's a tail of underperforming funds. The super sector really isn't delivering on its promise to Australians, and that's why this legislation is so important. You know, the negotiations that we've had with the crossbench are ongoing and always in good faith, and they'll continue to be so.
Is there an argument for delaying the start of the mechanism that that staples workers to their super funds to avoid duplicate accounts?
No, there is actually no excuse not to start stapling immediately. In fact, we know that should we delay by even 1 year, Super Consumers Australia tell us that around 850,000 duplicate accounts will be made in just 1 year. Already there's around 6 million multiple accounts held by about 4.4 million people. So that means two sets of fees, two sets of insurance premiums that are eroding away at people's balances, which is why it is so important to get this done now. Now, we've already addressed the stock of duplicate accounts. You know, we've done a good job there by establishing data matching within the ATO. But now we need to deal with the flow of duplicate accounts, making sure that when you sign up to a new job, that your employer seeks out your superannuation fund and sends your superannuation contributions directly to that fund immediately, rather than opening up a new fund for you.
Do you accept there's a risk that some workers will get stuck with underperforming funds?
No, quite the opposite. In fact, within 3 months of this program beginning, that Your Future, Your Super legislation beginning, if a fund is underperforming, it will have to notify its members and say, hey, what was written on the box wasn't what we delivered. And it will also send those members to an online comparison tool that sits with the ATO so that members can see exactly what their fund is delivering compared to other funds that are on the market. So the chance of being stapled to an underperforming fund is very, very slim. What's more, you're not compelled to stay with any one fund forever. At any point in time, you can choose to change funds to find a fund that's better suiting you.
Is your colleague Andrew Bragg right that this legislation could be used to shut down super lobby funds?
That's not the objective of this legislation. This legislation is all about getting rid of duplicate funds. It's all about getting rid of that long tail of underperforming funds, which at the moment account for about $100 billion of Australian savings. Around 3 million accounts are currently underperforming. And it's also about making sure that there is improved transparency and accountability for superannuation trustees, making sure that every decision that they make is in the best financial interest of members. Now, the best superannuation funds are already doing this. It's really not an enormous change. The intention of this legislation is to refocus that those trustees' attentions when they make a decision, whether it be to make an investment or make an expenditure or a sponsorship or a donation, that they are saying, well, you know, is this the best thing for our members? Is it the best financial interest of our members foremost in our minds?
Do you believe that allowing the Bilawila family to settle in Australia would restart the people smuggling trade?
Well, look, this has been such a difficult case, you know, and many migration cases are very complex. Obviously, each have their own unique set of circumstances. This case is one of those. And at a human level, of course, these decisions have been extraordinarily difficult. These matters always are. You know, this is not necessarily a threat. You know, of course, this family, they seem like a very nice family. And obviously, the Bilawila community are very fond of them. But it is a precedent. And we know that the people smugglers are looking very closely at the decisions that we make here. You know, this couple came separately to Australia by boat back in 2012 and 2013. Both parents were placed in detention under the former Labor government, and they were assessed as not being owed protection under the United Nations definition. So as such, they were informed, not by this government, by the former government, that they would never be permanently settled in Australia. And the government's position remains very clear on this. You know, if you arrive by boat, you won't be settled in Australia. We do not want, at any point in time, to go back to that chaos that we saw with deaths at sea.
But be real with people, Jane. We will not return to the chaos because we've let one family stay permanently.
No, I agree with you. I understand, but there is a principle at stake here.
But
hang on, there's little kids here.
Where's the principle?
We agree.
It's cruel.
Yeah, no, we think that the right decision has been made to look after this family in community detention, which while decisions are made, you know, they've still got court processes. But, you know, let's be honest, PK, their application for refugee status has gone through the AAT, it's gone through the federal court, it's gone through the high court. At every step of the way, they have been denied that refugee status.
Sure. So the minister uses his discretion and intervenes.
There is cause for compassion. There is absolutely no doubt about it. And I'm so glad that the family has been reunited in Perth, that they will give to they'll you know, get to be in community detention, the kids will get to go to school, they'll get health care. That doesn't actually change their status. Now, there's still a way to go in this. There are further applications that have been made to the AAT, there are further applications that have been made to the High Court, and we know that there are also a series of things that the minister has to go through. So it's got some time to play out. All migration cases are complex. For all the compassion in the world, it actually doesn't change the status of the parents of this family.
Yeah, well, yeah, a ministerial discretion does. He can give them any visa he wants. That's the ministerial discretion he has.
Well, look, the minister, I think, has his current submission before him, which he's assessing right now. He said that he wants to act quickly and compassionately. There is some additional information in that submission that we haven't heard before. There's also some health information for the minister's consideration, and this will be taken into his considerations.
But you're a human being. You're a mum. You know how uncertain it is for kids to not know what their future is, even if they're in Perth.
I can only feel for this family. They really have been through the ringer, but the immigration status hasn't changed. They remain, what is unfortunately called unlawful non-citizens.
What's the point of being the government if you can't do anything nice for people?
Well, I don't think that is the case.
No, I'm being unfair.
In fact, I resent that. I think that's really unfair.
Seriously?
I think that's really fair.
Really?
Honestly, you're saying that we can't be nice to people. I think
that
we have tried very hard with this family.
Transform these little girls' lives.
Every step of the way.
You could transform their lives.
PK, I really think you're being unfair now. This family have been through, we've given them every legal avenue that they could possibly take. They certainly haven't had a lack of access to the Australian judicial system or legal system. And at every step of the way, they have failed in their bid to be considered refugees, to be offered protection under the UN Convention. Now, we made it very clear, as did the previous government, that people that arrive by boat will not be allowed to stay. That principle has to continue. But in the meantime, I think that there is real opportunity to look after this family, to make sure that their health is looked after, that the kids can get a good education while their legal their legal bids play out.
Are you surprised that the Australian Club, which counts, I think, John Howard and Malcolm Turnbull as members, I mean, you're not allowed to be a member because they voted today to keep women from becoming members. What do you think about that?
I don't actually want to be a member. Do you want to be a member of these clubs?
I'm not desperate to be a member, but I also can look at the injustice of it.
Well, look, it's really up to the members of the club to decide the conditions of membership. If they want to deny themselves the company of 51% of the Australian population, good luck to them. I don't think I'm going to lose any sleep over it. I think that there's more things that we can do to create a more equitable society, things like implementing the Respect at Work report or our record in expansion of childcare subsidies to cover the second and subsequent children, making sure that there's women have a more fulsome participation in the workforce and in society more broadly. I think that even keeping children and and women safe from domestic violence is a far better way of creating an equal society than allowing them or not allowing them to join men's gentlemen's clubs, for want of a better expression. I don't think you're allowed to call them that, are you?
Don't know.
These exclusive men's clubs.
Yeah, they're a bit weird though, aren't they?
Well, you know, there are all sorts of clubs out there that are a bit weird, and I don't necessarily need to be
That's
a member
up there,
of any
though,
of
isn't
them.
It?
Well, you know, look,
if you're excluding women, I mean, would we have a club that you know that had the right to deny black people access?
Well, we do have clubs that deny men access. You know, they're out there as well. And look, you speak to the wives and partners of the men in these clubs, and they think they're a great idea because they get to offload their partners and spouses for a day or an evening and have a bit of time to themselves. Look, I think that this is genuinely up to the club to decide. It's not really my place, your place, our place to make a decision on behalf of those people that have been members of the club for years. Do I want to be a member? No. So I don't feel like I'm banging on the door and feeling excluded.
Okay. Who wants to be a member of any club? That's right. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Great to be with you, PK.
Senator Jane Hume is the Minister for Superannuation, Financial Services and Women's Economic Security.